Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, did you notice that word there? I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. So I'll read 8. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. And I'll read for you the last few verses here. Verse 26 and 27, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. All right, Proverbs chapter 7. We read verses 1 through 8. Now look with me in Malachi chapter 2. When we were discussing the minor prophets in Sunday school, I showed you some errors that in the Israelites, and one of the things they were doing was not handling their marriages correctly. And because of it, the Lord was upset with them. First of all, God got on them in verse 11 for marrying strange wives, for marrying worldly wives, women of the world. And then in verse 14, the Lord talks to them about why he's not listening to them. And he talks about how they've dealt treacherously with the wife of their youth, and they're breaking their covenant with their wife. And then in verse 15, we see the reason why God put man and woman together. And did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. One of the things that the Lord, one of the reasons why the Lord put Adam and Eve together and caused them to become one, is he was seeking a godly seed from them. And so that'll be our sermon this evening. It'll be kind of scattered, but I'll try to stir you up a little bit and put you in remembrance of some things that I've preached on many times before and things that I'll preach on many times in the future. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we ask tonight that you would do a work in our heart. And Lord, stir us up and prepare us, dear Lord, for what you have for us from your word. Lord, we ask that you'll cause us to set aside all the trials of life and the struggles and the heartaches for a while. Lord, help us to listen. Lord, help us not to be, help us to be honest with ourselves. Lord, help us to be honest with you, and Lord, help us to take care of things in our lives that need to be handled. Heavenly Father, now, I believe I'll touch on something this evening, Lord, that's near to your heart, and that is our children. Lord, help me this evening to deliver this message the way you'd have it delivered. Lord, help me tonight to speak with authority from the Word of God. Lord, help me to have boldness that I might break through some of Satan's strongholds in some of our homes. Lord, help our lives to be different. Lord, help our children to be different than the world. In Jesus' name, amen. I wish I could tell you tonight, as I've said before, that you can program your child and they'll never disappoint you and never break your heart. That's not the case. The Lord made us in such a way that every person, remember Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden in a perfect environment, and they chose to go against what the Lord had asked them to do. And so there's that time of decision that every person must make. However, as a parent, as I've said before, it is my responsibility and it is my job to train them according to the Word of God. What they do with it will be between them and God, but it is my job to train them and to do my very best. Now, in Proverbs chapter 7, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. First of all, there's a father teaching. He said, listen to what I've got to say. Hear what I'm telling you. He was doing his job. The son's job was to take in what was being told him and lay it up inside and to obey it and to keep it with him. My job is to teach. My job is to train. I can go take you from verse after verse after verse throughout the scripture that shows that a parent are supposed to train their children, that we are supposed to train those that next generation that comes behind us. We're to teach them what's right and what's wrong so that they'll know how to live. Now, my son, keep my words. He's teaching him. Here's your job. You keep them. You lay them up. Now, move on with me and let's look and see. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Every child or every young person will come to a time in their life where it's their choice to either keep the commandments of God or to go the opposite direction. If they'll keep them, they'll find life and they'll live the way they ought to. If they don't, then they'll take the consequences that come along with it. my job still as a parent, regardless. So don't come to me with this junk of you just can't go, see kids turn out right anymore. They'll just break your heart. There's no sense even trying. Don't come to me with that junk. You just do what you're supposed to do. My job as a Christian is to do what God's commanded me to do. Not to be worried and wrapped up with what others are going to do with what they're supposed to do, but rather, what am I supposed to do? If I do things based on what other people do or with what I've taught them or what I've instructed them to do, for example, if I continued to pastor based on how the people listened to the Word of God and how they changed their life and lived according to the Word of God, I'd have to tell you there'd be times where I'd want to quit based on the people and what they're doing. But that's not my job. My job is to preach the truth, and hopefully somebody will grab a hold of it and do what's right. My job as a parent is to train them and to do my part and to give them what I'm supposed to give to them. Now it's up to this young person, and as we see here, this son, it was his job to keep what Dad taught him. Now, I can't help but think here, as I read this in verse 7, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths. I was holding our new baby today, actually burping her. That kid, she's got to be related to me somehow, because the utterances that come forth from that child in that way of belching are unbelievable. That baby can lay in the cradle at night, and it sounds like there's a puppy in there crawling around. Unbelievable. I was holding that baby today, something so sweet and so precious, and smelling the baby, and I love the smell of the baby, and that baby's got a head of hair. I figured out where my hair is going to. That child stole it. I'm already bitter with that child. Holding that baby, as long as they smell good, I'll hold them. And as I looked at that baby, I thought, boy, what a precious thing. What a precious thing. You'd have to really find a mean person not to like a baby or not to think that a baby's precious. But I know somebody who's out to get that baby. I know somebody who'd like to ruin that little baby's life. Now, I can't fathom that. I would think that everybody would look upon the baby and think, what a wonderful little blessing, and I hope that baby grows up and is happy and serves the Lord. You'd think that everybody would want that for that baby, but there's somebody who doesn't want that. Who is that? Satan. That's exactly right. And I'll be honest with you, I've been thinking about this message for the last couple of weeks. I got a little bit of a chip on my shoulder towards the devil. Huh? I love those children. Good night. The Lord blessed me with those babies. They're in my home. God put them in my care for me to raise them, me to train them. You want to get on a lady's bad side, you mess with her children. Her child could be the rottenest, meanest kid on the face of the earth, but you mess with her child and you're on that hen's bad side. Her feathers are in a ruffle. That's just the way the Lord made it, and that's okay. That's good. I'm offended. I'm offended with the devil. That he would be so mean and so vicious that he would want to ruin my little baby's life. I'll tell you what, I'm mad at him too. That he would want to ruin your little baby's lives. Maybe they're not little babies anymore. Maybe they're teenagers now. That irritates me. It irritates me. It makes me mad. Listen, preaching the Word of God and preaching against sin, understand something. There may be a few of you that'll get things switched around and get things in order. But probably the majority of folks who will take the preaching of the Word of God from the pulpit and apply it in their lives will be the youth. They'll hear it over and over again. I'm sorry, you're somewhat set in your ways. I can tell. I'm preached bark up the same old tree for month after month after month, and it's the same old way. But you know something? Children are so tender to do what's right, and children are so tender to find out what's right and to live that way. I'm afraid sometimes the preaching goes over the adult's head. You say, well, children just don't get anything from church. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Well, don't go shove them off in a gymnasium and let them kick a ball around while everybody's sitting the preaching. Let them hear the preaching, too. They need to hear what God's man's got to say. Yeah. I'm afraid sometimes the preaching goes over the adult's head and sinks into the children's head. When the preacher says you ought to be pure and you ought to make sure you're not looking at the wrong things. I'm afraid sometimes that slips by the adults, but it hits home with the children. Tonight I preach to you, but I'm preaching over your head a little bit, too, to your youngins. You know something? The Bible talks about people being a stumbling block for another Christian. Wouldn't it be a shame for someday it to be said you were a stumbling block for your children? I would never, never be harsh with a young person who wanted to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Never. You say, but they're aimed in the wrong direction. Well, pray for them, love them, and don't be harsh to them. Try to direct them in the right way. Don't be unkind, and don't be hateful, and don't be spiteful. You know what happens oftentimes? We see some younger Christian or a young person that get on fire for God, and you know what it does? It convicts us of what we ought to be. So tonight I'm mad. I may not seem mad right now, but I'm mad. I'm mad. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at public schools. I'm mad at rock and roll music. I'm mad at Hollywood movies. I'm mad at all that junk. Why? Because the devil will use anything he can to try and destroy your children. Why? Because God wants to find a godly seed. God wants a generation of teenagers and of young people, little ones, who grow up hearing the truth, and God can look to them and find one that he can use to call on to serve him. Or many. He's looking for them. But the devil's out to stop that. The devil hates my newborn. Why? Because in that newborn, there's goodness and someone who can serve God. You know, I thought about something today. All the babies that have been aborted, you say, well, they had good reason. Oh, really? Murder's good reason? Okay. They had good reason. I wonder how many preachers have been aborted. I wonder how many leaders in America have been aborted. You say, but the environment there, the situation wasn't right. You can find no excuse to say it's okay. None whatsoever. I can take you to my home church, to my pastor. His daddy was a drunkard. His mama lived in poverty. They're poor, and they can't provide for that little child. We ought to just get rid of them. Well, I wouldn't have had the pastor that I had all these years. Huh? I wonder what great leader, what great scientist has been aborted. Why do you think of this? Look through the scripture and find out how many times you see different situations where they are wanting babies to be killed. They've been aborting babies for years. That's nothing new. The Pharaoh was doing it. They're still doing it. Herod did it. He had newborn boys killed, right? Huh? Why? The devil stops them when they're little. He's out to get them, out to destroy them. Don't you think for one minute, you know what we do? We play games with the devil. As adults, we play games with the devil. We're setting our ways, and we've pretty well blazed the path the way we're going to live. Nobody's going to tell us any different. No preacher's going to tell me how to dress. No preacher's going to tell me what to watch. No preacher's going to tell me what to listen to. No preacher's going to tell me where to go. We puff up within ourselves. I've lived this way. Everything's okay right now. Everything's fine. I'm doing just fine. Everything's okay. I'm after you little ones. This new type of reaching the people of today with worldliness, it breaks my heart. I didn't know they had drums and electric guitar, but evidently they do over in the old building. Electric guitars and drums. We're going to play music like the world plays it so that folks will want to come in and hear. I've taught you before, the devil's it was in charge of music at one time. Be careful how he uses it and how he instructs and how he works on people. We're going to reach them that way. You know what they're doing by doing that? They may reach some people, and they may tell them of Christ. There may be some folks saved throughout that. I don't think there'll be very many, but there may be some. But guess whose throat they're cutting? They're bringing worldliness and worldliness into church and reaching people through worldliness. But you said they're making this moody radio station. They're doing some good. They're uplifting. They're reaching some folks. They play nothing but rock music. Oh, they may throw Jesus' name in every once in a while to give it a little credibility. But what are they doing? They are cutting our children's throats because they're taking that in and thinking that, well, that's worldly music, but that mom and dad have got the good words to it. Well, then I can listen to my worldly music. It's pretty much the same thing. They may be bearing some fruit right now, but in so doing, they're destroying the orchard. We are the orchard. We're supposed to go out and lead folks to the Lord and see them bear fruit. But our children that we're training are supposed to also grow up and bear fruit. Why do you have the Bible today? Why do you have this church today? Why do we have the truth that we have today? Because people continually pass it down, as Paul told Timothy to do. Find faithful men and commit it to them. But if the devil can dry up the orchard or destroy the orchard, he may let some fruit be born for a while, but if he can destroy the orchard, then guess what? There'll be no one to pass it down. That's a scary thought. But you think in your own heart and in your own mind, those of you that have been around a while, of the trend of things and how folks have changed, and if you were depending on something, some church in, maybe 20 years ago or 10 years ago to still be rock solid and stand where they used to stand, see how they've drifted and imagine what it would be like 20 years from now if some people don't decide we'll stand firm, and not only that, we'll teach our children and train our children to also stand firm. The devil is out to get our children. Hey, look. Lose selfishness for a while and lose your wants and your what feels good to you for a while long enough to realize the devil wants your children. He doesn't care if they become a drunkard, a drug addict, or just cold-hearted. As long as he can keep them from living and loving and serving God, that's what he's out to do.
If they end up in the mission, he could care less. If they end up on Skid Row, it doesn't matter to him. If they end up with their lives wrecked and ruined, whatever it takes to keep them from serving God and living for God, he's out to do it. Now, folks, for common sense sake, surely look through your life and find out what can I do more to prevent it and to help. And if my part is to train them, then what areas do I need to be training them in and preparing them? This young man in Proverbs chapter 7, I'll not point an accusing finger at a parent or a father or a mother that might not have trained him. Perhaps someone did train him. Perhaps he didn't listen. But all I see in verse 7 is there's a simple one. I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. Maybe somebody had taught him and he'd never listened. But maybe there had been a daddy who never took the time to teach him. Maybe there had been a mama who never took the time to teach him about that whorish woman that would ruin his life. Hey, that boy in that story, that's somebody's son. That's somebody's baby. That was a little baby one time that's grown up and now his life's being wrecked and ruined by a whorish woman and he's void of understanding. Now whether they taught him or whether they didn't, the bottom line is he's being destroyed here. But in order to inspire us and encourage us, hey, what do we need to be teaching our children to prepare them for situations like that? Don't you think for one minute you can take them to the door of sin and leave it unopened? Don't you think for one minute you can walk them down the boardwalk of lustful living and then leave them at the edge and then not fall off? Don't you think for one moment you can drive them in the car of sin to the cliff of destruction and then get out and everything will be okay? We have got to separate ourselves. We've got to live pure. We've got to live clean. Why, there are babies that are marching behind us. There are children who are counting on you and I to be separated, to be clean, to walk the right line and to not go to the right or go to the left, but stay straight on. They need us. I may annoy you, and my screaming and hollering may get to you after a while, and the spit that's covering Brother Phil right now, I've always wanted to spit on you, and covering the foam covering there. It may grow old and irritating to you, but you know one thing. You keep your children here, and they'll have somebody who will yell and scream loud enough to try to keep them right with God and to keep them away from things that will destroy them. Boy, Brother Jamin preached yesterday to the Bible Club kids, and he absolutely, positively tore their stinking faces off. He blistered everything you'd always want to say, but wouldn't want to talk to somebody about it. You'd be afraid to offend them. He offended him yesterday. He offended me yesterday. I'm telling you, I was walking the aisle, getting right with God. He was all over it. He got to preaching against Nintendo. I've got to tell you, I got my heart right then. All that good stuff. He was just blistering them. You know what? They needed to hear that. But other churches wouldn't do that. Yeah, probably other churches wouldn't go and pick him up on Saturday and have a Bible club with him either. If we're going to bring him here, let's not just say we got 10 in the youth group. Let's say we're teaching them what's right. Let's preach to them. Let's give them what they need, the truth. And so he did. I thought they were going to kill him at the end of the sermon, but he made it through. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, a couple of them who had been saved decided to go ahead and get baptized today. They obeyed the Lord. Maybe a little bit of hard preaching shook them up a little bit, huh?
Amen.
So we see this man. This is going to be a long sermon tonight, so ladies, you go ahead and take your shoes off and be ready to sit for a while. A young man, and behold, I'm still in my introduction. And beheld, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Why would the devil be after the youth? Anybody can figure that out. They're the ones who have their life to live. Huh? Why would he want to destroy somebody or put a stumbling block in somebody's life when they're young? Well, that's easy to figure out. To keep them from becoming what God needs them to be. Why would he be out after our young men? Why would he be after the purity of our young men? To keep them from becoming what God needs them to be. Why would he be out to get him with the wrong crowd and cause him to run with the wrong people and to get intertangled with the world and marry someone of the world? Why would he do that? To keep them from becoming what God could use them to be. Now, I believe they can still be used of God. I have not given up on them. I have not forgotten them. But I will tell you this. They've got a lot better chance of serving God if we can keep them right where they need to be. I'll pray for them, help them, reach them, love them, and God can use anybody. But folks, as a parent and as a pastor, my goal is this. Keep them right where God can use them, right where they need to be. There are two ways of thinking concerning children. There is build a fence at the top of the cliff, or there is build an ambulance at the bottom. Huh? You either keep them from going over the cliff, or you have an ambulance down at the bottom to catch them. The government has the ambulance at the bottom. They have birth control they pass out in the schools. The fence is keep yourself clean and pure, and there'll be no problems. Huh? I don't have to worry about AIDS. I don't have to worry about these diseases. Why? Keep yourself clean and pure and obey the Word of God, and the Lord will take care of you. There'll be no problem there. And all these problems and these things. Well, how are we going to solve this problem? Hey, I'll tell you how to solve the problem with the youth deaths and all that. Build the fence at the top of the cliff rather than trying to pick up the pieces once they hit bottom. He's out to destroy them. So a young man's life, we see in Proverbs chapter 7, is destroyed. The devil loves it. Happy as can be. Why? There's one less person that might become what God needs him to be. The devil's out to get your children. You say, I don't have children. You will someday. You listen to me. Listen to me. You say, I've got grandchildren. All right? Help your grandchildren. Be what you need to be. Go back to Malachi now. 4 points and we'll go to the house. Number one, 4 areas that the devil is out to get your children in. 4 areas. Number one, he's out to get their minds. He's out to get their minds. When I say mind, I mean it in many areas. Number one, an area of the counselor. He wants to become their counselor. He wants to tell them and direct them how to live. Listen, rock music is a 5-minute, a rock song is a 5-minute counseling session. That's what it is. When they listen to Madonna sing of touching men and running with men and living that wicked lifestyle, that's 5 minutes of counseling. When they listen to the filthy rap music that ought to be illegal, talk about shooting cops and killing cops and down with authority and up with rebellion, that's 4 or 5 minutes of counseling time in how they ought to live in rebellious way. When they listen to Marilyn Manson, the biggest faggot on the face of the earth, that's 5 minutes of counseling time with a homosexual. You say, that's offensive. Well, just go ahead and be offensive. He's offensive. Makes me sick. And don't tell me, teenagers, you don't listen to him. I know some of you do. I know it. Well, try and hide it. Well, I agree with you, Pastor. He's that way. But yet, with your friends around, why don't you take a stand that he is a big sissy, a big weirdo, a big nut? Oh, but I would never listen to him, but you'll listen to folks that he eats dinner with and that he runs with. You notice that whole crowd, all birds of a feather flock together. They're all in the same boat. They could care less. You know what? You say, but they're probably nice people. Yeah, they're nice people, all right. Give them $7 and they'll give you an autograph. Buy their CD and they'll pat you on the back. They could care less. You know what they... music sells based on what folks want. He's got to destroy their minds. You watch out, parents. You watch out what's allowed into that mind right there. Watch out! Watch out. Hey, it's a shame anymore. The children's TV, you can't even allow them to watch that hardly. It's full of junk. If the children weren't in here, I'd tell you some things I've seen on these cartoons. Hey, but Walt Disney's good. Yeah, it's good. It's run by a bunch of homosexuals trying to influence your children and direct them. Disney, same company that puts out movies about prostitutes. I'm sorry. I don't spend every Sunday night preaching against Disney, but I'll be honest with you. You know what? Get your children in their Bibles. That's right. Spend time with them. Teach them to sing songs. Play games with them and turn that junk off. He's got to get their minds. He's a counselor. Every cartoon, for the most part, anymore on TV. You know, we used to watch Fred Flintstone and the Jetsons and good stuff like that. Now what do they watch? Stuff about wizards and warlocks. And you know, that's the occult. That's New Age movement, folks. Witchcraft. Huh? Witchcraft. That's all it is. What are they preparing them for? Read the book of Revelation and see different things, different creatures that come up out of the sea that speak and how the folks don't think anything of it. They just continue to follow on. It's a generation of people who grew up watching these cartoons of lizards and turtles and junk like that speaking and being wrapped up in the mystic movement. You said, preacher, it's just cartoons. It may just be cartoons, but he's getting into their head. Look, I remember Fred Flintstone, Yabba Dabba Doo. I remember the Jetsons. Why? It's in my brain. Knowledge. He's out to put the wrong kind of knowledge in. He's out to destroy them through knowledge. He wants their mind. He wants it. Don't you let him have it. Hey, as long as those children are in my home, I can do something about what comes in their little ears and what they see. Well, if the world is just so bad, what are we going to do? You know what? Here's an easy solution. Try to avoid places where the world is at and the worldly influence is. The shopping mall. My children heavy hang their head if daddy ever catches them at the shopping mall as teenagers. I got no business there. Every time I got in trouble, it was at the shopping mall. Every time I got in a fight or looking for trouble, it was at the shopping mall. Why? Because people are hanging out. The Bible says that the youth are supposed to, we're supposed to bear our yoke in our youth. We're supposed to be working when we're young. Why? It'll keep us out of trouble. He wants to fill their head full of wrong kind of knowledge. Their minds. He's got to get their perspective on things. Huh? It's an alternate lifestyle. It's okay. Somebody told me, I don't know who it was, and if somebody in here that was told me, go ahead and tell me if I ruined the story here. And in one of the schools here in the area, in the newspaper, or there was an article in the newspaper about how in that school around first, second, third grade, they were causing the children to read a book entitled My Two Dads, about a boy who had two dads. And in another spot, they were having them read about two moms. Huh? We've come a long ways from Sea Spot Run, Sea Spot Jump. Jack and Jill went up the hill. We're in bad shape. Now Jack and Steve went up the hill. Perverted. I had to get their mind. I had to change their perspective of things. Huh? Now that stuff is there. I understand we're not going to get away from it. I understand that junk and that filth is there. But hey, hold on a second. Hold on a second, Satan. Hold on a second, devil. I got a little bit about something to say about some of these things. And there may be nothing I can do about the billboards. There may be nothing I can do about the stinking filth they hang on the magazine racks at the grocery stores, but there is one area I can do something about and keep clean and right, and that's in that little domain called my home.
That's right.
That is my castle.
Right.
That's my area. Devil, get out of it.
Right.
Hey, I can control what comes out of this mouth. I can control what this fellow does. I can control what my children see. I can lead them and direct them in the right path. Okay, there's nothing I may be able to do about the world and the smut that the world pushes on us, but there is an area that I can keep right and I can keep clean, and that's in here, and that's in my home, and I'm going to do it.
Right.
Why? I've got children that need it. Stop buying into the devil's lie that we've got to play the game his way. What else? It affects their minds through television, through movies. You know it just as well as I do. You know it. Look. Try to go down to the video store, your little video card, and buy a video and see if everything you see in there is wholesome and decent. Will it be? Nope. So I guess probably shouldn't go in there to see those things, should I? Not only that, if a video store will rent pornographic films to people, and I walk in and I rent a cartoon from them, what have I just done? I've just put money in a smut pusher's pocket. Would you walk up to a fellow down in the red light district who propositions fellows for women and give them $5? Huh? What if he was selling newspapers? Would you buy his newspaper from him? You knew what he did for a living? Knew who he was? He'd say, no way, Pastor. Well, then why would you walk into a video store and pay those people?
Sure.
I got a name for Blockbuster. I changed the name to Family Buster.
Oh.
Huh? Oh, we spend time together. Yeah, I know you do, in the blue zone. In that time where we could be teaching over in Proverbs chapter 7, let's be entertained tonight. Oops, they said a swear word. Turn it down. I figured something out. If they said the swear word and I turned it down, I've already heard the swear word. The only way you'll be able to watch that junk is to leave the volume turned down. Then you see the filth that comes on there. Husband and people aren't even married, hugging and kissing all over each other. You know what? You might as well just turn it off and just like listen to the buzz of the television set. Oh, that's entertaining. Well, that's a good one. That's all there is to it. Personally, I'd rather sit on the porch and watch bugs fly into the bug light before I do that. All right, number one, he's got to get their mind. Look, I'll roll up my sleeves and I'll punch the devil in the stinking nose, because that's exactly what it is. There's no easy way around it. Pastor, you're going to offend people. You're going to stall. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Everybody here that'd be honest with themselves would say, you're right. You're right. Number two, he's out to get their emotions, their stability. Huh? What institution has the devil attacked the most in the last 50 years? The home. The home. Why? That's the children's base. That's their stability. That's it. He's out to destroy it. He's out to destroy your home. Why? Because your children have stability there. They know they can come home and cry on dad's shoulder or cry on mom's shoulder. They know they can come home and there'll be a mom and dad who will stand arm in arm in agreement of raising their children the right way. That's stability. They know when dad says, mom says, and what goes, goes. My son now is at the age of, mommy, can I do something? No. Then run into the other room. Mommy, our daddy, can I do this? Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, whatever, I guess, you know. As long as you're not going to tie me up or shave my head, go ahead, kid, do it. My wife will say, Mark, what did I just say? No. Well, but daddy, I said, son, what did mom say? No. Standing together. Being willing to discipline, being willing to handle the problem and correct the problem. Stability. Stability. He's out to destroy it. How does he destroy the stability in a home? Selfishness on the part of a mate. Not wanting to grow up. Not wanting to take the responsibility of who we are. Look, when I was 18, I played sports. When I was 16, I played sports. When I turned 19 and went to Bible college, I still played sports. When I got married, I got married. I still played some sports from time to time. I had a child. I don't play sports anymore. I don't have time. There's too much going on. I've got to raise my children. I've got to train my children. I've got to work at the church and work here and work there. We've got to grow up sometime. I think sometimes I feel sorry for some of the older folks. By older, I mean up in your 60s. I'm afraid sometimes the younger adults disgust you at our lack of concern for what's right and what we ought to be doing, with just in basic areas. When you can offer a fellow a job at a good paying job, but the guy says, I don't like to get up that early, I won't be able to take it. You know, my dad always told me you had to drag yourself out of bed, or you had to sleep in your car down there by the workforce. You crawled out and you rolled on in and went to work. Huh? Not the mindset anymore of the average person of my age group. Huh? Why? I've been taught, been instructed. Stability, consistency. You know what you like about God? You like the fact that God never changes. Oh, what comfort we find in God never changes. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Glory to His name. He's faithful. He's consistent. Your children need stability in the home, and the way they'll have it is by consistency. What's right today will be right tomorrow. What's wrong today will be wrong tomorrow. What's right today will be right 5 years from now. If we go to church on this Sunday, then we go to church on the next Sunday. If we read our Bible today, then we read our Bible tomorrow. If Daddy says this today, then Daddy will mean that tomorrow still. It stays the same. Consistency. He's out to destroy your children's emotions and make them a stinking nervous wreck because of instability. Don't you let the devil do it. Don't you let him gain the victory. Bob's a dad, you got an argument? Go to your bedroom and work it out. Don't you argue in front of those kids and cause that instability there and that knot in their stomach and that emotional turmoil. There are going to be times where a husband and wife are going to have problems. I'm sorry. I remember the first year that my wife and I were dating. We didn't speak a harsh word to one another. Of course, I only said three words the whole time. I love you. No, we didn't fight. I can remember saying, I don't think we'll ever have a disagreement. And my wife said, you're right. We'll never have a disagreement because I'm always right. Yeah. Well, I'll never forget 14 months into our dating relationship, we had a disagreement. My world was shocked. I mean, I couldn't believe it. We're not meant for each other. We disagreed on something. You know what? I went home. My dad started laughing. He said, son, that's what makes, you know what? Disagreements are good. That makes the making up fun. Hey, you got to have that. That's when the smooching gets good. And I said, yeah, okay. And so I understand now there are going to be times of disagreement. Why? Because we all have a flesh. There are going to be times, ladies, where you get your feelings hurt. Don't you wreck what you got going, and don't you blow that consistency there. You go off somewhere and take care of it, but don't you let the devil use you to get after the emotions of your children through instability and inconsistency. You be consistent. If I can tell you tonight one thing from this entire sermon, it would be this. Be consistent. Be consistent. Stick by the stuff. Find out what's right, and then hang on to it, and don't you change. Hang your hat on what's right, and then let it hang. Number three, he's after get their will. He's after their mind. He's after their emotions. He's after their will. He wants them to be stubborn. The Bible says that its stubbornness is bound in a child, foolishness, rebellion. So I'm there to take care of it. My children like to buck mom and dad. They hit that age where they want to do what? Push you as far as they can. How long can I get away with this? How long? If daddy says this, what does he really mean? If daddy says don't touch the curtains, does he really mean don't touch the curtains? Or can I touch them a little bit? Stubbornness. Or they say, we call it crankiness, but it's really being ornery. Well, he's just tired, or she's just tired. No, they're just rotten to the core. That's why God put them in my life to take care of them. They say, now listen, little junior there. You need to obey now. No. Stubbornness. Now listen, little junior. Daddy loves you. You want a piece of candy? What do you think, it's a dog? That's what I do with my German shepherd. Sit up and beg, and I'll give you a candy. I don't want them to obey for a treat. I want them to obey because it's right. That's stubbornness in there. Don't you kowtow, don't you back down. Go ahead and take the time it takes to get that stubbornness taken care of. That rebellion. Well, he's a little baby. Yeah, but you know what? Little babies become toddlers, and little toddlers become, what's the next stage? Adolescent, and what's the next stage? Teenagers. And a little rebellious toddler, I got a pretty good chance we're going to be a little rebellious teenager if you're not careful. That's why I'm there. I'm going to take care of that. He's out to get their will. Why? The Bible says, not because of time, when I go there, James 4:7, I'm to submit myself to God. Why? And then the devil will, I'll resist the devil, and that'll take care of the business. But it starts out with me submitting to God. If they will not submit to you, chances are they will not submit to God someday. If they will not obey mom and dad now, probably when they're an adult, they will not obey God because they'll never be in the habit of ranking under, which what submit means, to understand that they have a higher authority and I'm supposed to obey and I'm supposed to follow. Now, some of you folks get your teenagers' hands off across your neck and realize you're the boss and you're in charge of things and you tell them the law and keep on pushing forward that way. You got little ones? Hey, you're D-A-D. He's B-A-B-Y. Or she's B-A-B-Y. You're M-O-M. You're in charge. You're the boss. The truth will set you free. Don't you think for 1 minute your life revolves around catering to every whim of that little child. Not at all. You're to instruct them, teach them, and build them. Oh, but I hear this wrong. I can't discipline them. I'm afraid they'll go to bed mad at me. Put them to bed mad at you. By the morning time, they'll wake up. You know what my dad used to make us do when we really got it? Take a nap. We'd take a nap. You know what? After that nap, we felt like we were on top of the world and everything was just fine. That's okay. They'll live. They need to be taught that. They'll see that you love them then. He's out to get their mind. He's out to get their emotion. He's out to get their will. Number four, he's out to get their purity. He's out to get their purity. From a very young age, he's out to get their purity. Huh? Fellas, let's be honest. Go to the average store today and look at the magazine rack and tell me if that's fitting for a child of God to view, look upon. Huh? Thanksgiving holidays, I was in the grocery store. I detest shopping, to be personally honest with you. But there are times when there are things that must be picked up. For example, potatoes for mashed potatoes. Green beans for green beans and some corn. Boy, we had some good stuff there. Some hot bread, some rolls. So there are some times where I'll push myself to go to the store. So there we are in the store with my dad. You know what it is? You got the gum, you know, the little rack, and then they got all the magazine racks at the end. They got the Star, the Globe, the Inquirer, all that junk. Now, what else do they have? They had Cosmopolitan. I don't know. I was going to say Better Homes and Gardens, but I don't usually think they have a bad cover on there. But all these other late teen, 17, all these things, these magazines. What do they got? They got some gal fixed up on there showing off her body. Why? So somebody will buy it and sell it. They can sell it, make some money, and somebody will buy it. They don't care what happens. They don't care that some young man looks at that and views that and stares upon that. You can't even walk through the Greenwood Park Mall and look through the windows without seeing things you ought not see. I'm sorry, I'm old-fashioned, but I'm of the opinion that the only person that's supposed to see me in my undergarments is my wife, and the only person that's supposed to see my wife is me, and that's it. I don't need to see everybody else's wife without their clothing on. That's against the things that God has taught in his Bible. So what do they have to do? Got to get our purity. From beginning, bombarding, 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 bombarding. It's okay. It's okay to play this game of sin. I think it's destroying them. Destroying them. For a young man today to have a clean mind, he'll have to decide on purpose to not view things and not look at things and not watch things and not even head in that direction. It's impossible. Why? He's after their purity. He wants to bring them down and destroy them that way. Why? It's very hard to serve the Lord with an impure past. It can be done, but it is a restriction. It's a restriction. Look, on a simple truth, we all know that to be the case. What you want to do? He wants to get them when they're young. Flee youthful lust, Timothy. Young preacher, stay away from it. He's after your children. He wants them. That little baby means nothing to him. That newborn baby that means so much when brought home and carried home, and that sweet smell of that foul diaper. That baby lotion rubbed on that first little bath. All the fun times and all the joys that come with that little baby means nothing to him. That little child that you'll bounce on your knee and call your daughter or your son, that means the world to you, and you look in and you see all your dreams and you understand all the visions you have for them, what you'd like to see God do with their lives, means nothing to him. He could care less. He could care less. He doesn't care if your son becomes the biggest creep on the face of the earth or just stays hard-hearted as long as he doesn't serve God. He's out after their mind. He's after their emotions. He's after their will. And he's after their purity. 70s and the 60s, the hippie generation. What do they produce? They produce today's leaders, if you will. We have a dope-smoking, fornicating president in the White House. That's all we have. The sad commentary on that is that we elected him. He didn't just walk in there. He didn't hold anybody hostage to be put in there. He got elected in. People wanted him in. They knew that stuff. People knew many of the things beforehand. This is no new light, what's come to pass now. That had been his past before. But yet people decided that's okay. That is the heartbeat of America. Why? The devil tried to destroy things. What's your home like? What needs to be taken out? Mom and Dad? How's your relationship? Do your children have stability? Mom? Dad? How about what are they seeing in your home? What kind of things are you planting in their little head by you watching it? We had a rule in our house. My dad said, if it's not fit for the kids to see, it's not fit for me to see. This rating system. You know who rates the movies, don't you, folks? Hollywood. A bunch of perverts rate them. They're the ones who bring the rating system about. They're the ones that are in charge of it. Hold on a second. Then, as they get more perverse, guess what? Rating system won't mean anything. Not that it ever did. It's all garbage. G stands for garbage. PG stands for parental garbage. And R stands for restricted garbage. That's all it is. He's after him. He wants to make you mad at the preacher. He wants to make you mad at life. He wants you to throw in the towel on your marriage. He wants you to do whatever. It doesn't matter whatever you do, just as long as he can get to those little babies. If I saw tonight a little snake crawling down the hallway, getting ready to climb into that nursery and bite one of the children, one of those big snakes that can swallow animals and stuff whole, an anaconda or something. He saw him. First of all, if I saw one of those things heading towards the nursery, I'd tell my wife to go in and get the baby. I'm out of here. I saw that big rascal slither in with his big old mouth open up. Man, we'd all, I hate snakes, but I'd do something about it. I'm afraid of snakes, but I'd take care of, I'm afraid of snakes and rats, but I'd take care of business. I'd take care of that rat. I'd feed Brother Phil to him or something. Why? And that's our little gold mine. And it came after one of your teenagers. You saw a big snake coming after your child. What would you do? That's cute. Oh, look at that pretty little snake. That snake won't bite you. Got your kid's ankle swallowed up, working up his thigh. Oh, it's okay. It's not going to hurt it. Daddy likes the snake. It's a nice snake. Daddy grew up with this snake. Daddy's accustomed to this snake. Daddy's accustomed to this way of living. This is a nice snake. Nice snake. Got both legs of your child in there now. Your kid's hands are sticking out of the mouth of the snake. What a beautiful little snake. Oh, oh. There goes your kid. You ever watch some of them snakes take something down in, how it works its way through? What happened? What am I going to do? Sorry. You should have killed that snake a long time ago. One last verse and we're done. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let me use little Michael and little Phil. Would you guys come here and help me for a second? Come here, little Michael.
All right, we'll take care of these two of my boys. We're out in the jungle. All right? And they got guns, and I've got a gun. We hear a lion growl. Can you growl like a lion? What's that? Tony the Tiger say, great! Oh, no. Man, we hear a lion. What are we going to do? These fellas got their guns, and I got my gun, but I'm the dad here. Who do you think's going to go after that lion? Huh? Me. Huh? You think there's a little bit of responsibility here for me to make sure that these two are taken care of? What if I got a little, what do they call those things the Indian gals carry the babies on? Tampoose? What if I got a little baby on the back and I'm walking through the forest and I hear that lion growl? What am I going to do? Okay, take care of yourself. Go away. But yet, who do you think the lion's going to come after? Who can run the fastest of us? Probably I can. At least I hope I can. Now I'm in bad shape. Probably I can. Who could defend myself the best out of the three of us? I could. You know the lions go after? Huh? They go after the young. Watch them sometime when they attack over in Africa. Who do the lions go for? They don't run after the lead. They run after the little ones in the back. When over in Africa and over in the wildlife there, when a newborn is born, one of the first things they do, you watch them. Within hours, they get them up on their feet and get them moving. You know why that is? Because predators will come and eat him if they lay down. They'll get him. Who's that lion after? He's after them. They don't want me all old and tough and mean and hungry. He wants that sweet, tender meat, that little bitty baby. Who's the devil after tonight? These two. Hey, Mom and Dad.
You're the lead. How are you going to protect him? How are you going to keep him safe? What do you need to take care of? What's he after? Mind, emotion, will, purity. If you will, their body. He's out to get them.
Thanks, fellas.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we ask tonight that you'll take this message. Lord, help us to apply it. Lord, help our homes to be different. Lord, help us to love one another. Lord, help us to raise our children the right way. Lord, help us to take care of business and areas where things need to be dealt with. Who would say tonight, Pastor Pointer, some area of my life or something, maybe not hit directly upon, but the Lord's doing a work in my heart. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Okay. There are hands everywhere. Why don't you make this altar tonight a special place and let this be a special occasion of commitment to your God on behalf of your children. The lion's growling. Boy, he's all over the place, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's after the little ones. Hey, Mama, he wants that little baby that's so precious to you. That little baby that depends on you and counts on you for life and counts on you to be fed and counts on you to be changed. He wants to destroy it. He does. Why don't you decide tonight to take care of business? Mrs. Bush, would you play the piano? You say, there's something I need to take care of. Would you leave your seat and come take care of it? You raise your hand. There's a decision you need to make. There are others here. Come on. Hey, Dad, you need to give something up. Mom, something you need to get in order. Hey, Mom and Dad, something you need to be taken care of. He's out after your little ones. He wants them. He wants the kids. He wants those that are lagging behind. Heavy hang our head. We sit through a sermon like this and not do something about it. You got something that needs to be fixed, you fix it.